There is absolutely no question about it. You're listening to The Swing Era. I'm your host, Bud Pearson, and I would welcome any comments or requests. Just email us. Our address is swingera@earthlink.net. That's swingera@earthlink.net. Back to The Swing Era, it's 1936 with Fletcher Henderson. On the Swing Era, two swing gems by Fletcher Henderson, last up with an arrangement by Horace Henderson and under his leadership, I'm Rhythm Crazy Now, with Claude Jones trombone, Coleman Hawkins tenor, Bobby Starks trumpet, and the trombone of Dickie Wells from October 1933. And starting off, a later Henderson orchestra of March 1936 played Christopher Columbus. The arrangement by Brother Horace, Fletcher with his 1936 stars, Roy Eldridge's trumpet, Ed Cuffey's trombone, the tenor of Chewberry, and Buster Bailey's clarinet. Fletcher Henderson on the Swing Era. Heard it on the Swing Era, three arrangements by Fletcher Henderson for his orchestra, just up, an April 1936 recording, Jangled Nerves, a fast-paced gem with solos by Chew Berry on tenor, Roy Eldridge's trumpet, the trombone of Ed Cuffey, and Buster Bailey's clarinet. And in the middle of the stack, we heard some different changes on Queer Notions, featuring Coleman Hawkins and Red Allen from September 1933. And starting the set, another classic in the Henderson swing tradition, a Decca record from September 1934 titled Shanghai Shuffle, featuring Buster Bailey's clarinet, Red Allen's trumpet, and the alto sax of Hilton Jefferson. And you heard it on the Swing Era. Last set on the Swing Era, here's Fletcher Henderson. On the last set of the Swing Era, another romper by Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra, arranged by Benny Carter, we just heard Rhythm of the Tambourine, a March 1937 Vocalion record, with solos by Emmett Berry's trumpet, the tenor of Chew Berry, no relation, Jerry Blake's clarinet, and the string bass of young Israel Crosby. And in the middle, Horace Henderson's composition and arrangement of Rug Cutter's Swing, from the September 1934 sessions, with everyone heard from Red's trumpet, Buster's clarinet, the trombones of Claude Jones and Keg Johnson, Jefferson's alto, and Ben Webster's tenor. A swing classic. And starting the last set, another Benny Carter arrangement, Limehouse Blues, again from September 1934, with the usual suspects soloing Red, Buster, Keg, and Ben. Benny Carter was quoted as saying everyone wanted to be a member of Fletcher's band. If you could make it with Fletcher, you could make it with anybody. And there you have it, Swing School with Fletcher Henderson. That's it. So many recordings and so little time to play them. But we'll go back to the record vault next week for more music. Till then, this is your host, Bud Pearson, hoping you've enjoyed Swing School 101 with Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra. If you did, join us here next week when we'll present more artists who created the styles and the sounds of the swing era. We'll see you then. And remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of Redwood High School, online at kcea.org.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear.
A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
It's time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll invite you to turn your lights out. But first, on the lighter side, Father Knows Best. Father Knows Best was one of the bright spots of late radio, first heard August of 1949 on NBC. It told the story of the Andersons. Over the years, the family had plenty of growing room, and by the time Father Knows Best was ready for television, Jim Anderson had become the patient, loving, all-wise father figure of the air. Stepping into the role of Jim was Robert Young, whose acting credits went back to 1931 and the first Charlie Chan movie, The Black Camel. Young had since made more than 100 films and had appeared in enough radio to qualify as a veteran first class. But Father Knows Best would become Young's best-known radio role, setting the stage for his jump to television, where 20 years later he was known as Marcus Welby, M.D. Ted Donaldson was Bud, Kathy was played by Norma Jean Nielsen, and later Helen Strong. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Father Knows Best and Vacation Arrives from July of 1950. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen, Sally Folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Quite a few years ago, a poet said, "Write me a verse, my old machine. I lack for an inspiration. The skies are blue and the trees are green, and I long for a long vacation." Well, writers aren't the only ones who dream of blue skies and Elysian fields. They just talk about it more than anyone else. Bankers and bricklayers, cobblers and carpenters, they all dream of vacation time, even as you and I. Even as do the Andersons in the white frame house on Maple Street. Like this.
Well, give me one reason. Give me one good reason.
Jim, we've been spending our vacation at Round Lake for almost 10 years.
That's what I mean. We're in a rut.
But you've always liked Round Lake. Why this sudden affection for Highland Hills?
Because, honey, look, I had a long talk with Henry Liggett today.
You've said yourself we can't afford to do the things the Liggetts do.
But Henry said it isn't expensive. Maybe a little more than Round Lake, but not much.
I like Round Lake. It's small. It's informal. And you've always liked it, too.
Margaret, it isn't that I don't like Round Lake. It's just that, well, you mustn't forget that we're getting ahead in Springfield. I'm a successful businessman. I've got to conduct myself like a successful businessman. There's a certain dignity about Highland Hills.
Father!
What is it, Betty?
Did you remember to pick up my blue dress at the cleaners?
It won't be ready until tomorrow.
He said he'd have it today.
Remind me to call my lawyer in the morning. We'll sue. She's got a whole closet full of dresses, but if she can't have that particular one... What was I saying?
Highland Hills is dignified.
Oh. Well, we'll meet a lot of people who may do me a great deal of good in a business way. And besides...
They have a wonderful golf course.
Yes. Margaret, Henry Liggett assured me...
Jim, you don't seem to understand. A vacation has a definite purpose. You're supposed to relax.
Why can't you relax at Highland Hills?
Because it's a very fashionable resort. Everyone is always dressed to the eyes. There isn't a peaceful moment in the entire day.
That isn't so. Why, Henry Liggett told me...
Mother!
I'm sorry, dear. What is it, Kathy?
May I have a glass of milk?
Not now, dear. We'll be having our dinner in a few minutes.
But I'm thirsty.
Drink some water.
Water? Okay.
Sounds as though she never heard of this stuff.
Jim, you know, there are several things you seem to have forgotten. First, we've had our reservation at Round Lake since last August.
That's no problem, Margaret. They can get rid of that cottage in 2 minutes if we give it up.
And second, you take only a 2-week vacation, and of course weekends, but the children and I are gone for the entire summer. Certainly you ought to consider our feelings in the matter.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll take a vote on it.
What kind of a vote?
I'll explain the whole setup to the kids, and then we'll take a vote. Round Lake versus Highland Hills. That's fair, isn't it?
Jim, that's the silliest idea I've ever heard. Do you mean you're going to let a mere infant like Kathy...
Well, she'll only have half a vote.
Jim.
And to make sure I get a fair shake, I'll take the other half.
All right, Jim. I just hope you know what you're doing.
I think I do. Betty? Bob? Kathy?
Coming, Daddy.
Boy, it's about time. I'm starved.
Your father wants to talk to you, Bud.
About what? I didn't do anything. Did I?
Do you want me, Father?
Come down here. We've got something important to discuss.
Oh? Okay. What's all the shooting for, partner?
Kathy, if you don't... Oh, Kathy, look at your dress.
It got splashed.
That's the greatest understatement of the week. What were you doing, deep-sea diving in the sink?
I was taking a drink.
Why didn't you use a glass?
You said I should drink some water. You didn't say to use a glass.
Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Breathe.
What?
I haven't told you to breathe lately. I wouldn't want you to stop now.
Dad, I think I know where I can find it if somebody didn't take it.
Somebody didn't take what?
The library book.
What library book?
The one I lost. Is that what you want to talk to me about?
No.
Oh.
Father, Mr. Manassian promised that he'd have the blue dress ready today.
Betty, he didn't feel well. He had a headache.
Oh. Well, I didn't need it anyway.
Dad.
What is it, Bud?
Joe Phillips and I are going to chip in and pay for the parking ticket together.
You got a parking ticket?
You didn't want to talk about that either, huh?
No, but we will.
Yeah, I figured we would.
Jim, we only have a few minutes before dinner.
All right, Margaret, I'll tell them about it right now.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll put the biscuits in the oven.
That'll be fine, dear. Kids, what would you say if I told you we weren't going to Round Lake this summer?
Father!
Holy cow, Dad.
We didn't do anything, Daddy.
Now, wait a minute. There's no need to get all upset. I was merely trying to find out what you think about going somewhere besides Round Lake, that's all.
Besides? You mean we can go someplace else? For the whole summer? Creepers!
Hey, I know a good place to go.
Now, just a minute, Bud. I want to go to Camp Mishawaski.
Now, wait a minute.
Father, there's the most heavenly place.
I know a place way up in the hills, and Joe Phillips says they don't do anything all day but play baseball.
Stop it.
Dick Andrews and Bill Martin are going to be the lifeguards, and they told me you've never seen any place.
I said stop it.
Patty Davis is going to Camp Mishawaski, and if she can go to Camp Mishawaski, I don't see why I can't go to Camp...
Stop it!
Mishawaski?
I've never heard anything like this in my life. Anybody'd think you were reared in a barn.
But, Father, you said...
Never mind what I said. I didn't say anything about Dick Andrews or Joe Phillips or any idiotic camp wishy-washy.
Mishawaski.
Thank you. Now, if you'll just simmer down for a few minutes, maybe I can get a word in edgewise. It's not a question of going just any place. I've got another spot all picked out.
Is it Camp Mishawaski?
No, it isn't Camp Mishawaski.
Gee whiz.
And it isn't the place where Dick Andrews is the lifeguard, or the place where they do nothing but play baseball with antelopes all day.
Jumping creepers.
Go ahead, Bud.
What?
I said, go ahead, drop the other shoe.
Holy cow.
All right. Now, Now, I've been talking this whole thing over with your mother, and we've agreed to put it to a vote. We'll decide between Round Lake and...
Yes?
Highland Hills.
Oh, no!
Gosh, Dad, what do you want to go there for?
I want to go to Camp Mishawaski.
Yeah, go to bed.
It isn't even dark yet.
Well, close your eyes and go to bed.
Can't I just close my mouth?
All right. But keep it closed.
Yes, Daddy.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Anybody think I was asking you to go to Siberia to work in the salt mines?
I'd rather go to Siberia.
Well, we'll see if it can be arranged.
Father, Janie Liggett went to Highland last year, and she hated it.
Is that so? Her father said they had a wonderful time.
But it's just like the old lady's home.
You have to walk around on your tiptoes, and you can't even talk.
Kathy.
I didn't say anything, Daddy.
Highland Hills is one of the finest resorts in the entire country.
But it's so dead, Father. There aren't any boys there. Or anything.
Well, Bud will be there, and he's a boy.
Father.
Boy, am I going to have fun.
Look, I know it's your vacation, and I want you to have a good time. But don't you think we ought to pick out a place we can all enjoy? You mustn't be selfish about it. Bud, you wouldn't like a place that's all cluttered up with Betty's boyfriends, would you?
I'd like it better than Highland Hills.
And Betty certainly wouldn't want to go to a spot where they do nothing but play baseball, would you, Betty?
I'd rather go there than Highland Hills.
And you certainly wouldn't want to wind up in a hole called Washy Whiskey.
Mishawaski.
That's even worse. Now, at Highland Hills...
Father, why can't we just go back to Round Lake?
Everybody likes it up there.
Highland Hills is a place for comfort and relaxation. It is noted as a fisherman's paradise, a spot where whole families can enjoy a peaceful, restful vacation in the most attractive of surroundings. Nestled in the foothills...
Daddy!
What is it, Kathy?
Patty Davis is going to Camp Mishawaski, and she's my best friend, and I don't care if I do have to go to bed. I don't like Highland Hills.
Well, I'm not concerned whether you do or not. You only have half a vote.
What?
Jim, dinner's ready.
Oh, we'll be here a second, honey. I was just explaining to the children...
Mother, we don't want to go to Highland Hills.
You can't have any fun up there, Mom. Honest, you can.
Now, just a minute.
Jim, if the children feel that strongly about it...
But they haven't given me a chance to explain.
We've always been very happy at Round Lake.
It's not a question of Round Lake. They've all got a different place they want to go. And for the most idiotic reasons. Because they play baseball or because Dick Andrews is a lifeguard... Why should the whole family go to a place we know nothing about just because Dick Andrews is a lifeguard?
Betty, why don't you answer the phone?
I'll answer it myself. A man wants to do something special for his family, and what thanks does he get? Everybody acts as though I was sending him to jail. Silliest family I've ever seen. Hello?
Mr. Anderson, I have all the information for you on Highland Hill.
Oh, hello, Miss Thomas. What did you find out?
They have a 2-bedroom cottage available for the season.
Good.
And the manager says he's quite sure that cooking privileges can be arranged.
Fine. What did he say about the rates?
Well, there isn't much choice, Mr. Anderson. They just have this one cottage left at $54. That's without meals, of course.
$54? Hey, that's wonderful. That's even less than Round Lake.
I don't think so, Mr. Anderson.
Miss Thomas, we've been paying $500 a season at Round Lake, and that comes to over $60 a week.
Mr. Anderson, this is $54 a day.
Well, naturally, but... A what?
$54 a day.
$54 a day?
That's right.
Thank you very much, Miss Thomas. I'll see you at the office in the morning.
Would you like me to call them about the reservation tonight?
No, I think we'd better forget about it for the time being. Thank you again, Miss Thomas.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Thomas. $54.
Won't enjoy your dinner at all.
What?
I said it. Jim, what is it?
Nothing, Margaret. But I've just had a great idea.
Oh?
Yes, sir, absolutely great. Instead of arguing about Highland Hills and all those other places, why don't we just go up to Round Lake?
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
It's a hot Saturday in Springfield. A hot, sticky Saturday with the heat clinging like a moist blanket to the city streets and the leaves hanging limp and motionless on the branches of dusty trees. In the white frame house on Maple Street, however, there's great activity. The Andersons are preparing to leave on their vacation, and that's always a hectic occasion, like this.
Let's see now. Does that take care of all the office details, Miss Thomas?
You wanted to send a memo to Mr. Buckley.
Oh, that's right. Memo to Phil Buckley, home office, subject summer vacation. Dear Phil...
Jim!
I'm sorry. Yes, Margaret?
Before Bud takes your bag out, do you want to take both pairs of bathing trunks?
Yes, dear.
The old pair is full of moth holes.
Well, then leave them out.
I may be able to fix them.
Well, then put them in.
But I think you really ought to get a new pair anyway.
Then leave them out.
Oh, I think I'll take them along, just in case.
All right, dear. Where were we, Miss Thomas?
Subject, summer vacation, dear Phil.
Oh, yeah. Dear Phil, as is my usual custom, I'm dividing my annual vacation into two separate weeks, the first of which I am about to take now. In order to establish my family at Round Lake...
Father!
What is it, Betty?
Mr. Manassian never brought back my blue dress.
I brought it back myself.
No, you didn't, Father. You said he had a headache and... Oh, never mind. Here it is.
I'm sorry, Miss Thomas. What did I say?
In order to establish my family at Round Lake...
Miss Thomas, when you get into the office on Monday, why don't you just copy the memo I sent him last year? He won't know the difference.
All right.
Oh, call Mr. Gribble first thing Monday. Good grief. Bud!
He's taking the bags out.
Kathy!
You sent her out to bury those worms.
Oh. Well...
Do you want me to answer it?
No, thanks. I'll see who it is. Wants to carry a whole can of worms up the Round Lake. In my suitcase. Hi, Jim. Oh, hello, Ed. Come on in.
I just came by to see if you needed any help.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Ed.
You know me. Strong back and a weak mind.
Who was that, Jim?
It's Ed Davis, honey.
Oh, Ed, I want to speak to you. I'll be right down.
Okay, Margaret.
Just about ready to push off, huh?
Just about. And so help me, you'd think they were going away forever. We've never seen such a lot of junk.
Get your trunks packed?
Oh, sure. They went off yesterday. But we've got about a dozen bags. I don't know how I'm going to get them all in the car.
Yeah, well, you'll manage.
Ed, I'm so glad you stopped by. I wanted to give you our key.
Oh?
Of course, I don't suppose there'll be an emergency, but if there is, well, there it is.
I'll keep an eye on the house, Margaret. Don't you worry about a thing.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
Margaret, you know I'll be back in a week. It isn't as though the house was going to be deserted all summer.
I know, dear, but I'll just feel better.
Dad.
We're in the hall, Bud.
Say, Dad, I got everything in except Betty's suitcase.
Why didn't you put that in?
She's still packing it.
It's all packed.
That girl's got ears like a rabbit. Except when you need her. Bring it down, Betty.
I can't close it.
Oh. Bud, go upstairs and sit on Betty's bag.
Are we almost ready to leave?
We are ready to leave. Take Betty's bag out to the car and we'll be all set.
Okay. Boy, I don't know what this family would do without me.
Jim, are you really ready to go?
Sure. I just have to tell Miss Thomas one more thing. Miss Thomas?
Yes?
Oh, great. Busy little joint, isn't it? We'll get out of here at midnight.
Hiya, Jim.
Well, hello, Hack.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Margaret, dear, we just had to come over and say goodbye.
Oh, how sweet.
I told her you'd be up to your ears, but she wouldn't listen.
Hector?
Well, they're going away on a vacation. They haven't got time to stand around and gab.
You know we're always glad to see you and Elizabeth.
Say, Heck, would you and Ed like to do me a big favor?
Sure.
Just name it.
See if Bud got our bags in the car all right. Somehow, well, he did it too fast.
Sure. Come on, let's go, Ed.
We'll have everything all set for you, Jim.
Thanks.
Is there anything you want me to do, Margaret?
I can't think of a thing, dear. I've locked all the windows, defrosted the icebox.
Margaret, everything is taken care of. Why don't you and Elizabeth go outside?
You won't forget to lock the doors.
The doors lock all by themselves. But I'll make sure they're good and locked.
All right, dear. Come along, Elizabeth.
Men can be so stupid about these things, can't they?
Oh, they mean well.
Oh. Miss Thomas?
Yes, Mr. Anderson?
Where were we?
dribble.
Oh, well, I'll give it to you on the way out. No, we'll go out the back way.
All right.
Call Mr. Gribble on Monday and tell him that all the figures for the group insurance setup have been forwarded to New York.
Right.
We won't have any definite word for at least a week, and by that time I'll be back in the office.
Right.
You've got it all straight now.
The group insurance figures have been forwarded to New York. We'll have word in about a week, and by then you'll be back in the office.
Good girl. Was everything all right, Ed?
Well, not quite. Bud had the bags in all right, but he didn't leave room for anybody to sit.
That's my boy.
Gosh, how did I know?
We've got it all set now, Jim. Where's Kathy?
Kathy?
I'm coming.
Mother, when Bud sat on my suitcase, he broke something.
I did not.
Well, I heard something crack.
I think going away is so exciting, don't you, Margaret?
Oh, yes, very exciting.
Not that I'd know, of course. I just sit here in this sweltering town.
Kathy!
Ye gods, what have you been up to now?
You told me to bury the worms.
I didn't tell you to crawl in with them. Betty, see if you can scrape some of that mud off her face.
Yes, Father.
All right, let's get in. I'd like to see if we can't get up there before Labor Day.
Have a nice time, Mr. Anderson, and don't worry about the office. Everything's going to be fine.
I hope so.
Goodbye, Margaret, and if you have time, dear, be sure to drop us a card.
Oh, I shall.
Get your big one for me, Jim.
Okay, Heck.
Have a lot of fun, pal.
I'll sure try. Are we all set?
All set, Dad.
Well, we'll be seeing you.
Bye.
Jim.
What is it, honey?
I have the most horrible feeling. I think I forgot to turn off the hot water heater.
No, Margaret, you took care of everything.
Dear, would you mind very much if we made sure?
You mean you want me to go back?
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, no, never mind.
Was that anything wrong, Jim?
No, Ed, everything's fine. I'll only be a minute.
Be sure it's off all the way, Jim.
Yes, dear.
Mother, I can't get the dirt off her face.
She looks like she's been eating it.
What were you doing, Kathy?
Well, Daddy said I had to bury the worms, so I was digging a lot of holes.
Why didn't you just dump them all in one hole?
They were too crowded. I just put two in each hole because I didn't want them to be lonesome. But I had one left over.
So you had to dig up a friend for him, huh?
Gosh, I didn't even think of that. I just chopped him in two.
The pilot light was off, Margaret. You had nothing to worry about.
Oh, thank you, dear. I feel much better now.
Well, I guess we're about ready to go.
Bye.
What's the matter, Dad?
I can't find the car keys.
Oh, Jim.
Well, I had them 2 minutes ago. I started the motor.
Maybe you left them in the house.
Do you want Bud to go inside and see, dear?
Never mind. I'll go.
And, Jim, see if the door to the basement's locked.
I locked it on the way out.
Well, try it again, dear, just to be sure.
Mother, I can't even scrape the mud off her face. Stick your tongue out, Dopey.
No, I don't want to get washed with spit.
Kathy, get some water at the hose bib and wet your handkerchief.
Okay, Mommy.
And come right back.
Say, Margaret, I told Jim we'd expect him for dinner at least once a week.
That's awfully nice of you, Hector.
Oh, pish-tosh, it's absolutely nothing. You know we're more than glad to have him.
Tell him to come over now, will you, Margaret?
I certainly shall. And why don't you mention it once in a while, Miss Thomas?
I'll be very glad to.
Hey, we're never going to get started.
Oh, I think your father's coming now. Did you find them, Jim?
They were on the stove.
Well, hold on to your hats, kid.
Oh, everything's all locked, everything's all turned off, and everything's all put away. Now, do you suppose we can get out of here?
I hope so, dear.
Have we got everything? All the luggage, all the packages, all the junk?
I think so.
Shove over, will you, Betty? I haven't got any room.
Well, who has?
Well, pull your suitcase around. It's sticking me in the ribs.
Oh, don't be so delicate.
Okay, here we go.
Bye. Have a nice time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
By golly, this time I think we're going to do it. See you later.
Yes, so long.
Well, we're finally on our way.
You know, I've never in all my life seen a family quite like this one. We go through the same thing every year.
Dad.
When I was a boy, we used to go away for the summer, and we never had all this excitement. When we were ready to go, we went.
Dad,
Dad.
But not this family. If it isn't the stove, it's the icebox. If you don't forget one thing, you forget something else.
Say, Dad.
What is it, Bud?
We forgot Kathy.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
It's just a few minutes later in the driveway outside the white frame house on Maple Street. The Andersons have returned, retrieved the missing Kathy, and are on their way again. Or at least we hope they are, like this.
Well, I guess they're finally gone. I wouldn't be so sure. With that family, you never can be sure of anything. Hector, where have you been?
I just went over to turn off the water. Kathy left it running.
Hey. Hmm? Want to hear something? Listen. It's quiet, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. You take a family like the Andersons out of a neighborhood and the place sure calms down.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. For about 10 minutes.
They're a wonderful family, aren't they?
One of the best.
Of course, I still think they had one child too many.
Oh, Kathy's all right, Elizabeth. She's just full of pep, that's all.
She's certainly full of something.
Gosh, I can remember the day she was born. She was just a tiny little thing, and Bud and Betty. Yeah, it's going to be awfully dead around here. No noise, no excitement.
No broken windows.
I'm sure gonna miss them.
Yeah, they're nice people, all right, Jim and Margaret. Just as nice as they come.
Well, stop sounding so mournful, both of you. They'll be back, all of them, in 8 weeks.
That they will, neighbors, each and every one of them. Yes, Father Knows Best is leaving the air for its summer vacation. But we'll all be back on September 7th. Margaret, Betty, Kathy, Bud, Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and of course, Father Jim Anderson himself, Robert Young. Now may I wish you all a pleasant summer and ask that you drive very carefully so that you'll be around to join us again in the fall. So until Thursday, September 7th, good night, good luck, and happy times from the star of our show, Robert Young, and the makers of Maxwell House. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James.
From July of 1950, it's been Robert Young starring in Father Knows Best with Vacation Arrives. In a moment, we'll invite you to turn your lights out. Another amazing play from Arch Obler and The Trip from the Moon from 1945, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Lights Out was radio's ultimate horror show, first heard locally on Chicago station WENR as a late-night 1934 15-minute feature. The program was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. The show offered imaginative plays so filled with sinister, throat-clutching sound effects that it created quite the sensation. Upon Cooper's departure for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done work for Rudy Valley. Lights Out really became Obler's. From his first show in May of 1936, Obler approached each new script as a challenge. After 2 years of constantly trying to top himself, Obler quit the series and began his famous Plays series. Lights Out continued for more than a year after Obler's departure, scripting and directing done by NBC Chicago staffers. program continued until August of 1939. In October of 1942, Obler resurrected Lights Out from New York as a 30-minute Tuesday night program on CBS. That continued until September of 1943, the final series coming to Mutual in July of 1947. Lights Out made the move to television in 1949, continuing until 1952. Unfortunately, the TV version never really achieved the popularity of the radio program. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Lights Out and Trip from the Moon from 1945, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Lights out, everybody. Supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
Prophecy is an easy thing, for rarely is the prophet brought to judgment. Tonight I bring you a false prophecy. The place of our story is a great rocket speeding away from the moon. Yes, away. For the first trip to the moon has finally taken place, and a triumphant airship is now rapidly returning to the Mother Earth. Here then is a story about a tomorrow 55 years hence, September 20th, 2000, on board a rocket ship. A play that is, I sincerely hope, a very false prophecy.
Oh, the world's fair, we're having lots of fun. The sky is sure the limit, our new century's begun. We're floating on our plastic boats, we're flying through the air. The world is all our playground, we haven't got a care. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys, I'm glad to be alive. I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys, I'm glad to be alive. I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive.
Hey, Doc, how about joining us?
Yes, Doctor. Don't you think it's about time we had a little celebration?
There's a great deal of work to be done.
Work's over, Doctor. 24 hours more and we're back.
Yes, Doctor, we'll be back. We've done it. Complete.
In 24 hours.
If you're worried about our landing, I'm not. You worried, Reynolds?
No, sir. Everything's in perfect order.
Sure, Doc. There's going to be a round trip. Anyway, there's 24 hours before we have to worry about that.
Yes, Doctor. It's a time for celebration. Oh, I'm glad to be alive, boys. I'm glad to be alive.
I'm riding on a rocket train, and soon I will arrive.
Reynolds.
Oh, Major Reynolds.
Are you men out of your minds? You, Major Russell. Reynolds is still a boy, but you're a mature man. Please act maturely.
Oh, but Doctor,
I'll grant you that our adventure has gone well.
Well is right. We've been to the moon.
My congratulations, Reynolds.
Thank you, Major, thank you. I'll put the medal on my other chest.
Will you men listen to me? We're 48,000 miles from the Earth.
And headed right for it.
We're not there yet.
Doc, pardon the expression, but you're a gloomy Joe.
I am a realist.
But Doctor, the possibilities of anything's going wrong are remote. Surely we're entitled to relax a little and relish the fact of what we've done.
Yeah, we've done it, Doc. Even if we never get back, we've done it. We've been to the moon, and it'll always be there on the books.
I'm not interested in becoming an historical fact, Major Russell. The data we've collected, that's my only interest. May I ask you and Reynolds to get back to your post?
Oh, but everything's going like clockwork. Look at the gauges.
But we are out of radio contact with the Earth.
Yes, sir.
but we are on course. Doc, what is wrong?
Wrong? What should be wrong?
No, the kid's right, Doc. Ever since we made the circle and started back all these days, you've been acting as if we didn't make it. We've gone 243,000 miles, and we're three-quarters of the way back, and we're in, Doc. We're in. So what's the matter with you?
How old were you, Major, when the Second World War ended?
Oh, about five. What's that got to do?
And you, Reynolds, you weren't even born.
No, sir.
I was 21 on that day in New Mexico when they set off the first chain reaction. 21.
Doc, you mean to say you were in at the beginning of it?
Of course he was. Dr. Chamberlain was one of the original research men in the atomic bomb project back in 45. The only one of them alive today.
Well, what do you know? So that's why you wanted to make this trip, Doc. I mean, you...
Yes, Major. You wanted it as a substitution for what you missed as a boy. The excitement and glory of war.
Oh, Doc.
It's true, and Reynolds here is young and idealistic. The scientific wonder of it was what he wanted. And I was there at the birth of an era. Now atomic power is driving me into space, back to the Earth where it all began. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, Doc?
It's not pertinent to any of this. We have no time to discuss our emotions. There's work to be done.
Airspeed 23486.
Airspeed 23486.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Interior temperature 68.2.
Well, that's it.
Yes.
Any radio contact, Reynolds?
No, sir.
How about that, Doc?
Unfortunate, but not very vital. We're definitely on course.
How much longer will it be, Doc?
10 hours. At the most, 10 hours.
In the middle of LaGuardia Field. That's where I'd like to land.
I hope not.
Texas. Isn't that it?
Sure. We'll hit the flats right on the nose.
If the auxiliary jets work.
They worked on the moon. They'll work on landing. We're the good luck boys, Doc. We can't miss.
You have the optimism of a 16-year-old. Reynolds, you'd better get back to your radio. Try phone contact.
Yes, sir.
Major, check the jet temperatures.
Right jet, 1580.
Right jet, 1580.
Left jet, 1583.
Left jet, 1583.
Speed... 24-8-32.
Speed 24-8-32.
XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello? XR1 calling CQ. XR1 calling CQ. Hello?
Any luck?
No, sir.
Put your transmitter back on automatic.
Yes, sir.
Why do you laugh, Major?
I was just thinking about how many millions of telescopes are turned in our direction.
Yes?
What you said a few hours ago. I mean, about my wanting the excitement and adventure. That's true, you know. I'm 60 years old, and I guess I just lived for this chance. The Army hadn't okayed my going. Well, here I am. Once we land, I'll admit frankly I'm going to cash in on every bit of it and have myself a time. You know something? I get the feeling kind of depressed when I think it'll soon be over. Well, there's no reason for depression, is there?
I couldn't answer that.
Why not?
You've been wondering, undoubtedly, why ever since we left the moon I've been acting strangely.
That's right.
I've never believed in predestination, and yet there's been sort of a motivation of fate in my life. At 21, I was part of that research team trying to adapt atomic power to military purposes. When that first bomb went off over the New Mexico desert, a newspaper man repeated the words... What hath God wrought? And no one quite knew. I've been waiting 55 years for the answer. I think I found it a few hours ago on the moon. And it's an answer full of horror.
Oh, Reynolds?
Yes, sir.
Close the oxygen valve. That's why you're yawning.
Oh, yes, sir. 2 points?
2 points.
Oh, the Major's sure sleeping.
Yes.
It's only a few more hours, isn't it?
Yes.
Will we have to put on our compression suits the way we did on the takeoff?
Yes, of course.
Doctor, may I ask you something?
Yes?
Before, you spoke of finding an answer on the moon. And then you didn't say any more. Well, I've been thinking about it. I was wondering if it was something that the Major couldn't understand. And that's why you didn't speak of it further.
And now you want to know?
Yes, sir. I haven't lived anywhere as long as you two have, but my life has been built around atomic power. My dad, he was one of your men. Why, ever since I was a child, becoming a physicist like Dad was and you are and Dr. Oppenheimer and all the rest, why, that was it. But now, all of a sudden, the way you spoke before, as if all our research has been criminal. Do you mean that?
Collision. Radar.
Get at it.
What's the matter?
Object approaching.
Where?
15 degrees west. There it is. Meteorite. It's a meteorite.
That was the closest.
It was indeed.
Be sardonic indeed to collide with a meteorite at this point in our journey.
I use a stronger word than sardonic, Doctor.
Yeah, like fatal.
It's all clear.
Well, I better get back to...
No, Reynolds. Reynolds, you asked me a question before and I want to answer it. You too, Major Russell, I want you to hear this.
Sure.
Reynolds overheard what I said to you. That I'd found the answer to a very old question on the moon. He said that he felt that somehow I thought all of the research on atomic power had been criminal. No, young man, I don't believe that. Not at all. Criminal to know more about a way of nature? No. The answer I found was something else. I haven't even an answer, perhaps only a theory. When we came within 100 miles of the moon and then began to de-accelerate, to turn back, what did we see through the observation ports?
Well, Doc, we saw...
No, please, let me tell you what I saw. The craters of the moon. Great, gigantic craters, and as we came closer and closer, the look of them was so familiar. Not because I had seen them through telescopes and in photographs, but for some reason that I couldn't quite understand. Craters of the moon, and suddenly, at the very moment when we'd come as close as we dared and our ship swung in an orbit to return, suddenly I knew. It was a memory of another crater I had seen 55 years before in New Mexico from an observation plane high over the ground a few hours after the first atomic bomb had lit the sky with a new sun. Yes. The crater in the crust of the Earth that bomb had left was the same as the craters of the moon. Do you understand? The crater our bomb had left on the Earth was the same as the craters on the moon.
So what? I don't get it.
Yes, Doctor. What are you getting at? The crater in that desert was a thousandth of the size of the ones you're talking about.
I suddenly began to think. Was it not possible that the moon had gone through the same evolutionary processes as our Earth before our Earth? Yes. Wasn't it possible that men had come into being on the moon, developed their own civilization, had known scientific progress, even as we have, but long before we Earthmen had known it?
Say, Doc!
You do understand. These men of the moon had discovered the secret of atomic power long before we did, and then had used it to blast and to tear each other. Yes. And the craters on the moon, that terrible devastation, was the record of the destruction of their civilization. A final war, which had burned up the very atmosphere and left the moon a dead planet, circling endlessly through an airless sky.
All right, Doctor. Presuming your theory is correct, that the moon men had started through a war, a chain atomic reaction that they couldn't stop, well, what of it? It indicates that they were fools.
Yeah, that's it. Fools.
Are we any wiser?
Speed 2482.
You'd better cut it down.
Right. How much?
About 15%.
Right.
You get anything, Reynolds?
No, sir.
Would you come here a moment?
Yes, sir.
Will you help me with this port covering?
Yes,
sir. Here, there.
All right.
Well, you're going to take a look, huh?
Yes, that's it. There she is.
Mama Earth.
Reynolds, the cameras?
Yes, sir. How much should I run, Doctor?
Put it on automatic exposure.
Yes, sir.
6 more hours, eh, Doctor?
Or less.
Sure we haven't made a mistake and headed for Venus.
What are you...
That was just a bad joke, Doc. Oh, there's no two ways about it. The outline of the continents, we can't make any mistake about that being our home address. I wonder how much they can see of us. What are we, 6,000-7,000 miles out? You know, this reminds me of the time about 25 years ago. The Army sent me up to 1,000 miles to take observation photographs. Well, you remember how the atomic reaction motors were then. We got up about 500 feet.
Major.
What? What?
Look down. Look.
What? Well, I don't see anything.
Look, I tell you. Reynolds, come here.
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Well, the doctor says...
Reynolds, look. Do you see?
Yes. What is it?
I see it, too. Bright lights going on and off. What's going on down there?
Doctor, are they signaling us? Are they signaling?
It's 6,000 miles. Why? Why should they?
That's right. There's no such plan.
Look at it. It is lights going on and off.
But they're all from one area.
Can you make out where?
North America.
Then they are signals. The candle in the window.
Your own question. At 6,000 miles?
Wait a minute.
Are they explosions?
Explosions? Major Doctor, is that it? Are they explosions?
I don't know.
CQ, CQ, hello, 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 CQ, CQ. Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor, I can't raise anyone.
Doc, come here.
Yes, but...
Look, the closer we get, they are explosions.
3 more hours, we'll know.
I want to know now. Reynolds, what's the matter with you? Why can't you make radio contact?
I'm doing everything I can.
Major.
Doc, what are...
Craters. Look, craters.
Craters? At this altitude, you couldn't possibly...
After each flash, I do see them.
Okay, what does it mean? Well, what are you looking at me like that for? What does it mean?
Dr. Major, something's coming through.
Don't worry about time.
I can only hear it faintly.
What? What?
Please, let me listen. United States. What?
Reynolds, what is it?
Tell us.
What? Boy, I couldn't quite make out. They said...
Said what?
Tell us.
War. He said war. Blasting the United States off the face of the earth.
Blasting?
It's a joke, isn't it? Isn't it?
What are they sending now? What now?
It began an hour ago. No warning. Projectiles, radio controlled. Point of origin unknown. Oh, it stopped again, the transmission.
That's enough. Where's the International Police Force? What's being done about it? Doctor! Doctor, did you hear it was an attack without warning? Who could it be? What's the idea?
The explosions are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds! Reynolds, anything more coming through?
No, nothing. Yes. Yes, they started transmission again.
All right, let's have it quick.
Some station in Midwest. I can't get the call letters.
Who cares?
He says, it's hell. Ground shaking. No bombs landed near, but air reconnaissance. It's so garbled I can hardly make out.
Well?
It started an hour ago. Everything burning. Oh, it stopped again. There's nothing.
Doctor? Doctor, in heaven's name, what do you think it's all about? Stop staring out of the window and talk to me.
What are they doing?
What do you mean, what are they doing? They're bombing us, blasting us. It's war, but who? I've got to find out. Reynolds, find out who.
What? It's no use. There's no transmission.
Doctor, those bombs, where are they coming from? Can't you tell by the trajectory?
At this distance? And what difference does the face of the enemy make? It's happening, that's all.
Smashed them. I always said we should have smashed them. Exterminated them 50 years ago.
Oh, they were so peaceful for so many years. And
the flashes are increasing in frequency.
Reynolds, get on that radio.
I'll try again.
I've got to know who. The devils. We had agreements with everyone. The international devils. All of them. Call them devils. I don't even know who they are. Reynolds! You got anything?
No, I don't.
Doctor, faster. Let's get down there faster. Let's open it up.
You know better than that. We're entering atmosphere. Increased speed and we'd burn up like a meteorite.
But I'm an army man. All my life I've been trained.
Nothing's coming through.
What?
The bombs? Nothing can... I can hardly make it out.
Keep at it.
Panic. Paratroopers.
Who?
Last message from United States of... It's ended. There is no more.
Only get down there faster.
Only 500 more miles.
Look at it down there. Our Air Force, protective measures. What happened to them?
What happened?
Doctor! You, why don't you say something? We'll just sit there for hours watching. This isn't a scientific experiment going on down there. They're blasting us to pieces. Us! Your atomic bomb, the great secret. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. You said that. Yes, you. I was a kid then. I heard you say it over the radio when they gave you a medal. Hold it over the world and have peace forever. Well, what do you got to say now?
We had a wonderful 55 years.
What?
Everybody had a wonderful time.
Reynolds, what's the matter with him? He's gone.
No. Let him finish.
First, we hung the criminals 55 years ago. And as soon as their bodies stopped swinging, we left the crowd and each went back to his own house and shut the door.
You said the peace would hold forever.
I said it because I thought that when the secret was put away, the people of the world would remember the terror. I said to myself, now, surely now that they've seen the possibility of the disintegration of their Earth, they'll be drawn together once again into the family of men as it must have been in the beginning. I forgot what years could do. I forgot how quickly forgetfulness comes. I forgot that in only a few years, Hiroshima and Nagasaki would be only yesterday's sensations for a nation eager for sensations for today. You keep asking me who's sending those bombs against us. Who? I tell you, we're sending them against ourselves. Yes. Because had we made our way of life something more than a confused dream of shiny machines and happy endings, those bombs of hatred and revenge would not be flying at us.
I said the peace would hold forever because I thought that out of that war at last men had learned that there was no defense against hatred and revenge, but the defense of education for the unity of people. It was a race, gentlemen, against time. And we wasted our last 55 years running backwards on a track of chromium and plastics. And so we've lost. Forever.
No. We've never lost.
Look, the blasts are increasing in frequency. There's nothing left. Nothing.
We'll start someplace else. We'll build...
Doctor, look. The color of the blast.
Oh, dear God.
What? What?
Doctor, it's nitrogen, isn't it?
Nitrogen? What?
The fools. The everlasting fools. I warned them.
The blast. More and more.
They started something they couldn't end. The color of the blast. They've set off hydrogen atoms.
I don't know what...
We used uranium, plutonium, and when the initial blast was over, that was all. But hydrogen, that's part of life. One reaction sets off the other like setting off an endless chain until... Look down there.
Blast. Faster and faster.
They're spreading.
The fools. God help the fools. God help the fools.
Away. A sheet of flame. Around the earth. Doctor, tell me, what is it? What was it? Tell me.
It burned up all the atmosphere.
Burned up? Reynolds, what does he mean?
The chain reaction burned up all the air.
Move on.
Major! Major, the left jet!
It's all right, it's all right. All right. Where are we going? Can we go down there?
There's no air, no life. The moon, the earth, the same.
How much fuel?
There's the gauge.
2-3 hours?
Yes. Yes, I think that's right. Isn't it, Major?
Yeah.
What? What do we do?
You ask that question now? The Major no longer asks it. Do you know the answer, Major?
Sure. We'll circle around. Then we'll crash.
No. No, it'll be all right, my boy. My words again. Have peace forever.
From 1945, it's been Arch Obler's famous Lights Out with Trip from the Moon. Well, that's all we have time for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved. KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of Tide Academy, online at kcea.org. Oh,
Something. At times you're too darn good to be true. That certain please be mineable something. You're every bit of charm under the sun, rolled into one, my darling. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're beautiful. Yes, and baby, what's more, life is heavenly in your caress. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're wonderful. You are the hit of the show, you're a cameo of loveliness. Oh, what eyes you have, oh, what lips you have, oh, what lovely features. Talk about adorable creatures. Say you have so many thrillables. I'm all out of syllables. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're marvelous, glorious. You are simply divine. Top tip, you're tip top. But to top it all, you're mine. Of your head to the tip of your toes, you're beautiful. Yes, and baby, what's more, life is heavenly in your caress. From the top of your head to those little three double A's, oh, sensational. You are the hit of the show, you're a cameo of loveliness. Oh, 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 what eyes you have, oh, what lips you have, oh, such friendly features. Talking about adorable creatures. Say you have so many thrillables. Say Bing's fresh out of syllables. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, you're marvelous, glorious. You are simply divine. Oh, top to tip, you're tip-top. But to top it all, you're mine.
This is Bud Pearson, host of The Swing Era, where you'll hear the bands and the singers of that exciting time of the 30s and 40s. The Swing Era. Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on the home of the big bands, 89.1 KCEA.
Love with you, heart and soul, the way a fool would do madly, because you held me tight and stole a kiss in the night. Heart and soul, I begged to be adored, lost control, and tumbled overboard gladly. That magic night we kissed, there in the moon mist. Oh, but your lips were thrilling, much too thrilling. Never before were mine so strangely willing. But now I see what one embrace can do. Look at me. It's got me loving you madly. That little kiss you stole held all my heart and loving you madly. That little kiss you stole held all my heart and soul. Heart and
loves you every day, little mama. Breaking heart, you are ruling, little coquette. True love, tenderly dreaming of you night and day.
Someday you'll fall in love like I fell in love with you. And then the one you love will just be fooling. Da 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 da.
You know, little coquette, I love you.
You smiled at me, I heard a melody, it haunted me from the start. Something inside of me started a symphony. Sing when the strings of my heart was like a breath of spring. I heard a robin sing about a nest set apart. Oh, nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Sing when the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again but keep repeating through and through, I love you, love you. I still recall the thrill, I guess I always will. I hope 'twill never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, oh, rhapsody divine. Sing when the strings of my heart. You smiled at me, I heard a melody, it haunted me from the start. Something inside of me started a symphony. Sing went the strings of my heart. Was like a breath of spring, I heard a robin sing about a nest set apart. Oh, nature seemed went the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again but keep repeating through and through, I love you, I still recall a thrill, I guess I always will, I hope we'll never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine.
Hi, this is Bud Pearson, host of The Swing Era, where you'll hear the bands and the singers of that exciting time of the 30s and 40s called The Swing Era.
Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA. Let's try it one more once.
Just that I was there with you. was just a garden in the rain, but then the sun came out again and sent us happily on our way.
Thank you.